everybody. This is Pastor AJ coming to you from South Granville Church. Welcome back to the podcast, and I hope that you and your family are continuing to do well and having a wonderful summer so far. I want to start with an apology. I was actually mixed up about the order of the fruit of the Spirit, which is pretty embarrassing for a pastor. So last week we looked at patience, which is actually the fourth fruit of the Spirit. And today we're going to backtrack and look at peace, which is number three in Paul's list. So I want to apologize for that and also say thank you to Ben Netz, who kind of works behind the scenes to edit these podcasts. He was very confused and I was very confused, and yet he ended up showing the fruit of patience with me as we kind of figured out where we had our wires crossed. So this week we will look at the word peace, which in the Greek is the word eirene, and in the Hebrew language is the word shalom. Now, both of these words are about more than just the absence of conflict. Both eirene and shalom have to deal with wholeness and restoration. This biblical idea of peace is about things being put back together, finding security and wellness both in our relationship with God and in our relationships with other people. And so throughout the Gospels, Jesus is inviting his followers to experience greater peace through their relationship with him. For example, in John 14, Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." This is part of Jesus' long speech after the Last Supper in John's Gospel. He's trying to comfort and encourage the disciples before he goes to the cross. And Jesus wants them to understand a couple of things. One, they are going to experience greater peace than they've ever known through their relationship with the Father and the Son and the Spirit as they continue to walk forward in faith. But two, this peace will transcend all of their circumstances, because no matter what's going on in their lives, they can know that God remains with them, that God is active and working for his kingdom purposes, that this promise of redemption, reconciliation, and wholeness is going to be brought to fruition. No matter how hard life gets, they know that there is a peace that's available to them that goes beyond anything that they experience, because that peace is grounded in God himself and in his promises. And so this is a different vision of peace than what we experience in the world in several ways. For one thing, this is peace that is grounded in Christ. It is not grounded in ourselves or our own ability. It's not peace that we find by measuring up to someone's expectations or being good enough or achieving something. This is peace that is rooted in our relationship with God first and foremost, which means it is peace that can never be taken away. Secondly, and I think important for us, especially in a Midwestern context, this is a peace that is more than just the absence of tension or conflict or argument. This is peace that is working for God's good purposes, peace that is working to bring healing and redemption, peace that makes us whole as God always intended us to be. But one of the side effects of that is that sometimes this peace is going to require something of us, that this peace will come at a cost because it means we're going to have to be honest and open and sometimes deal with uncomfortable things. And so as we've been going through this series, we've been thinking about how we can create room for the Spirit to be at work in our lives, how he can grow these fruits within us. And as we think about the fruit of peace, one of the things we have to ask is whether or not we are truly pursuing a biblical vision of peace, whether or not our idea of peace is about getting better and growing more whole in relationship with God and others, or if we tend to just think of peace as an absence of conflict or discomfort, which again is a very common temptation in our Midwestern culture, right? We like to avoid things that are uncomfortable if at all possible. So let me lay out a couple of situations how this might play out. Let's say there's a guy who is, you know, working, he's raising his family, seems like an ordinary person on the outside. But inside, there is some tension and discomfort. Maybe he has wounds from his family of origin. There's issues with his parents, or maybe there's been some family drama the last few years that is kind of spilling over into his family and making things more difficult. Or maybe he's just feeling overwhelmed by the responsibilities of work and family and taking care of the house. These feelings are there, right? You can't pretend that they're not, but he has two different visions of peace that he could pursue. He could try to achieve peace by simply ignoring the problems or numbing them and trying to feel better by his own power. So this might look like something benign, like eating a bunch of ice cream in the middle of the night because he's just kind of feeling tense. This could be, you know, excessive drinking, pornography use, even an emotional or physical affair. He is pursuing something that's supposed to make those feelings go away when in fact it's only making the problem worse. Or he can pursue Irene Shalom peace. He can look to the Bible and see that Jesus is offering us a way of life that is lived in peace. But in order to do that, we have to be honest with God about what's going on in our hearts. So maybe instead of avoiding or numbing his feelings, he begins to bring them to God in prayer. He reaches out to a trusted friend and asks his friend to pray. He even pursues a conversation with a pastor or a therapist in order to get at those issues and begin to see them resolved. Now, one is certainly much harder, potentially more painful, and certainly comes at a greater cost. But in the end, it is actually the way of peace, because it is the way that God is going to bring healing and redemption and put things back together. Another scenario to think about. Let's say a married couple has been married for a number of years. They have two or three kids, and the wife is feeling like her husband is not quite getting all of the work that she's doing, that she's not appreciated, that he's not helping out in all the ways that he could or should. Now, she has a couple of choices about what to do with those feelings. Again, she can try to ignore them. She can allow them to be there while she simply, you know, puts her head down and does her work and does everything she can to spin all of those plates. And maybe that works for a while, but maybe eventually that leads to some resentment, that leads to distancing from her husband. Maybe that leads her to seek some escape or to numb those feelings again in an unhealthy way. On the surface, it seems like there's peace. The family's not fighting. The couple is more or less getting along. But there is an issue that's not being addressed. And if it is not addressed, it's going to actually rob her and rob her entire family of the peace that God has for them. The alternative is that she sits down and names those feelings. She begins to pray about them. She brings her concerns to her husband and does the hard work of negotiating compromise. She's willing to speak up and say, "I'm not happy. Things are not the way that they're supposed to be." Because through that process, even though it's uncomfortable, she trusts that God is going to work to bring healing and reconciliation, that God will actually bring greater peace in the end because she was willing to do the hard thing up front. And so as we think about how we can create space for the Spirit in our lives, how do we allow God to give us this fruit of peace that we all long to experience? One of the first and most important things we have to do is acknowledge where there is a lack of peace, to stop pretending that everything is okay, to stop thinking that we shouldn't be bothered by that conversation or that thing that happened in the past. If we are willing to just admit that we are hurting, that we are suffering, that we are lost or confused, and if we're willing to bring those feelings before God and before people we trust, then we're going to begin walking a way that leads to peace, We're going to experience the kind of life that Jesus truly came to offer to us. It's not a life that's lived on our own. It's a life where we live in dependence, where we acknowledge our need and ask God to intervene, but then we also trust that He's going to, that God is going to make things better and give us the resources that we need to deal with anything and everything that comes our way. And so if we want to grow in the fruit of peace, we have to start by simply acknowledging our need for it, to say, there is a lack of peace here, and I am inviting God to come in and do something about it. Now, the other thing that I want to touch on this morning is that in Christian circles, there is kind of a toxic and unhelpful conversation around anxiety and depression and people who are experiencing a profound lack of peace. Because sometimes there's this false belief that if that person would just pray harder or if they just had more faith, then they wouldn't be suffering. Then they wouldn't be experiencing anxiety, that they would experience the peace that God wants for them, but that it's somehow their fault. Friends, I want you to understand that there is a difference between the normal struggles of life or allowing our fears to take hold of our thoughts and a true anxiety disorder. That for somebody who is struggling with severe anxiety or depression, they are dealing with an illness the same way you might be dealing with cancer or a broken ankle. And so, of course, bringing those things before God is crucial. And of course, our faith offers us hope even in the midst of trials. But there is no shame in pursuing help through counseling or medication. These are tools and resources that God has given that can, in the end, help to bring about the kind of peaceful living that He longs for us to experience. And so if someone has ever shamed you or made you feel like your anxiety is your fault, that it's your problem and that you just need to have more faith, I hope you understand that that is not true, that that is an unhelpful lie that is being told to you, and that Jesus is here extending a way of peace and grace to you. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to see a counselor. It doesn't mean that you don't need to talk to your doctor. It doesn't mean that you're going to be able to fix it on your own or even through prayer. These things are gifts and tools. And we have learned so much, even over the last 20 or 30 years, about how mental health works. And so if we long to experience peace, then God, I think, would have us take advantage of any and every tool that's going to make that possible for us. Now, as we kind of end our time today, I know that this is a time in life where many of us are wishing we could experience greater peace. There is so much going on in the world, and there are so many difficult things in the news that it's hard not to feel overwhelmed sometimes. But one of the great gifts of our faith is that we have been given a preview of how the story ends. If you read through the book of Revelation, you get to see that no matter what happens on earth, in the end, Jesus is going to be victorious. That there is a peace available to us when we keep our eyes fixed on the finish line, when we remember that Jesus' death and resurrection defeated sin and evil, not just in the first century, not just in the 21st century, but for all time and all people in all places. No matter what you may be facing, I hope you know that there is victory ahead, that Jesus cannot be defeated, that Jesus will not be overcome. And through your faith in Him, you are going to share in that victory. May that bring you peace in your darkest moments. And may that offer you encouragement as we walk through this strange and difficult season as a nation. May you know the promises of God, that He is faithful, that He will never leave you or forsake you, and that His victory won through the death and resurrection of Jesus is yours forever. Not because you deserve it. Not because you are good enough. not because you go to church enough or give enough money. These things are yours simply as an act of grace, given out of God's deep and undeserved love for you and for me. And so let me close our time by offering a prayer that no matter where you are or what's going on in your life, that you would experience the peace of Christ this week and beyond. Please pray with me. Father, we come before you and we acknowledge that our lives are not perfect and that they are not everything we want them to be. Lord, we lack peace. There is conflict in our relationships. We experience conflict within ourselves. We feel hurt or insecure. We feel afraid of all that is going on in the world. And as we come before you, we are asking that you would pour out your Spirit on us and give us your peace. Help us to rest in your faithfulness. Help us to know deeply the love that you have for us, and help us to trust that no matter what we face, victory in Christ is ours because of who you are and what you have done. Father, we pray that you would give us the courage to do the hard work of pursuing healing and reconciliation. We pray that we would not settle for a surface level peace that is marked only by an absence of conflict or arguments. Instead, Lord, help us to receive true peace where we are made whole and things are put back together as you always intended them to be. Father, give us peace and give us hope as we walk through this season, and give us a strong sign of your presence with us today and as we go through this week. And we thank you that we can pray with confidence in the strong name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, friends, that's all for this week. If there are any questions that you have or anything that you want to process after this episode, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. You can send me an email at pastoraj@southgranvillechurch.org, or you can call the church office during the week. Also want to continue to encourage you to share our podcast as well as our church live stream and everything else that we're producing, because our hope is that others who are wrestling with these issues and struggling in this season will be able to know and experience the same love and the same peace from Jesus that you and I have as well. So I hope you have a great week. I hope that you experience the peace of Christ in a tangible way, and I look forward to being with you next week. Thanks for listening.